Hello, 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 and welcome to the Super Show. I'm your host, Jedi Paz, and today's episode is going to be a little bit different. So, Sage is feeling a little bit under the weather, so I'm going to be carrying today's show. He's at home resting, so let's just hope he gets better soon. And I'm going to start us off with a song. This song is dedicated to Matthew. As requested per Frankie, I hope you guys like this. Matthew's gonna be a radio host. Here you go.
A bottle of white. Red, perhaps a bottle of rosé instead. Get a table near the street in our old familiar place. You and I, face to face. A bottle of red, a bottle of white. It all depends upon your appetite. I'll meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
So that was Seen from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel. To Matthew and Frankie, I hope you guys enjoyed that. So today I'm going to be talking about Loki. Usually we talk a lot about DC, but I think it's about time we get into Marvels. Now, it's a shame that Sage isn't here for this episode because... he was really excited to get into this, and he's been telling me to watch Loki. My best friend from first grade, actually, she came over to my house the other day, and we were like trying to figure out what to watch, and she was like, well, there's this really good show called Loki. And I was like, well, actually, I have to watch that for my podcast, so we might as well. And we ended up binging the whole first season in a night, and it was so fun. We stayed up so late watching it, and I wanted to watch the second season too, but we were so tired. That first season, oh my gosh, it keeps you hooked on your toes. It keeps you wanting to see what happens next in the show. And I've got to say, the creators of the show are really, really genius. And yeah, hold up. Getting a message from the listeners. But yeah, so yeah, Loki. Let's get into Loki. I love the way that they delve into his character, because he's a very morally gray, complex character. He's the bad guy, but he's also the good guy. And it's so interesting when a show is able to portray both of him, you know, both he's good and bad, shows that he's chaotic, and everywhere he goes, he brings death and chaos with him. And, you know, it's sort of like, it's interesting from a psychological point of view to watch the show, because it dives into you know, what's going on in Loki's head, kind of, because you have all these different versions of Loki, and in Loki ends up falling in love with the female version of himself, and it gets like, okay, so is this a bit of narcissism going on here? It's really interesting to see that, and in another poetic or metaphorical way, you can say, you know, he found a way to love himself. And that's also like a really interesting way to look at it. So you can look at it from the negative sense of like, oh, that's narcissistic and like just what in the world? Or that's actually really cool that he found a way to like accept himself. And I like that the show progresses from him kind of looking down on himself and being like, you know, on Loki, I'm chaos follows me, everything, you know, sucks, to him progressively being like, we are Lokis, we survive, you know, we have a purpose. And that's only in season one. I haven't even gotten into season two completely yet. It's so cool to see how season one ended, because they weren't afraid to take that step and let everything go wrong. A lot of the times in superhero movies, you expect them to, you know, they save the day, bada bing, bada boom. But you know, the whole point of Loki is that it's not a superhero movie. It's Loki, the villain. How does this end? And the female Loki, she takes a selfish approach, or unselfish, depending on whose point of view you're looking at it. And she ends up killing the guy who's controlling all of time, which is, it sends everything into a spiral and creates like a lot of chaos, creates a lot of different branches on the timeline, which is actually, it's pretty crazy, because I didn't think they were actually going to do that. I thought they were going to, you know, keep everything organized, and Loki, the female Loki at the end, Sylvie, which is what they call her, I thought Sylvie was going to be like, you know what, you're right, I'll be the better person and I'm not going to kill this guy. But no, they took that step, they took that jump off that cliff, and metaphorically, and they killed him, and everything that could go bad started to go bad. And I was like, wow, okay, this is keeping me on my toes. I'm not used to seeing a superhero show willing to take those steps and like actually mess up everything. So yeah, Loki was amazing. I gotta say, from a cinematography point of view, I really loved the lighting in that show. I know that's such a random thing to comment on, but I used to be in cinematography classes, and I had to really focus on scenery, costume design, scripts, all of that, lighting, lenses for the camera. And so watching this show, it really shows that they put a lot of detail into all of those things, from the lighting, to like the angles, to the editing, everything. And I noticed there's like in the, you know, the timekeepers area, there's a lot of yellows. It's very dim. It's very like, it's almost like if you're in a dream and like a weird, it's also like, it's like you're in a dream, but it's also like you're in the back rooms of a place. I don't know if that makes sense. Like everything looks normal, but at the same time, it's off. Something's like off about it. And it looks familiar, but it's off. It looks like a corporate office, but at the same time, there's just something unsettling. And no, I love it. I just love the attention to detail they put to it. The lighting fixtures, not only like in the setting, but like I'm sure behind the scenes, the lighting that they were using to light up this the scenes there. It's immaculate. So, not gonna rant on for another 30 minutes about the lights. The storyline is really good. Sometimes it's hard to follow at points because, I mean, we are dealing with time and we're dealing with different Lokis, different parallel times, different variants. So, you're jumping back and forth from time to time. So you have to really like keep track of, okay, this is in the past, this is in the present, this is in another timeline, different parallel universe. So sometimes it can get a little bit tricky, but it overall they do their best to make it understandable, and it's really good. I like that Loki kind of gains a new ability to reach into people's minds. Because he doesn't have that ability, you know, beforehand. But then Sylvie teaches him and they unlock that ability, which is really cool. Yeah, I really love the show. The costumes are great. Honestly, the costumes are great. I like seeing Loki in like his kind of suit type of look with the slacks and the button-down shirts, because it's so different from what we're used to seeing with him, with like the giant horns on his head and the cape and like the leather costume. It's such a different, I don't even have a word for it. It's just so different than what I expect, and it works. They really know how to make it work. They know how to make the god of chaos modern and casual. And it works. It adds more to his personality. It shows his humanity in a way. And I like seeing the bromance between him and Mobius, I think is his name. There's definitely a bromance there. It's so sweet. It's sweet seeing Loki give Mobius a hug after he finds out that Mobius is still alive. It's just such a sweet bromance there. And it's sweet seeing Loki care about Sylvie too, because like I said, Loki, he's the god of chaos, he's the god of death. He's the god that's known for backstabbing people, not trusting anyone. And they incorporate that heavily into the show. So to see him for a second show his humanity and show his care for the other characters really, really lets the audience connect to him for a second. You know, you see, you know what, maybe he's not all that bad. And for a show to do that, that's when you know the writers are good. That's when you know that they win when they do that. Unlike She-Hulk, not to throw shade, but I'm throwing shade. Sage isn't here to defend She-Hulk, so I can throw her under the bus right now. She-Hulk sucked. Respectfully. Let's see. I've got some messages right now. All right. Yeah, She-Hulk sucked. And the writing there, the reason I'm comparing She-Hulk and Loki for a second is because Loki, they're able to make the character lovable. And they're able to add comedy without overthrowing the whole point of the show. Versus She-Hulk, it's really hard to find, I think her name is Jen, She-Hulk, it's really hard to find her lovable, because it's always her complaining about, oh, this is my problems, and oh, because of this, our life sucks, and all this, and oh, it's I like the lawyer aspect to it. I will say that. But even then, the cases could be written so much better. You could add emotion into it and have the audience really like connect with the case stories. But it's kind of like they just wanted to throw in a bunch of cameos back to back to back. And they also belittle Hulk. You know, I've already talked about that on another episode. I hate how they belittle Hulk, make him seem like, oh, he sucks. She-Hulk is the best. In Loki here, we see that same kind of, we see a similar dynamic in the sense that there's a female version and a male version of the same hero or villain in this case. But they don't overpower each other. It shows that they're equals, you know. And I wish they would have done something similar to that in She-Hulk. Not in the love sense, because that's weird. But in the sense that they don't overpower. They work together. They're equals. But in She-Hulk, they kind of threw Hulk under and said, well, you know, I'm way better than you. I don't even need to train. I have my skills. I get them in 1 second. So you don't even get character development for her, because her skills, she's already automatically good at them. Like, first day she has her skills, boom, she mastered them. But with Loki, you see, I mean, they kind of give you a little bit of background that, you know, Sylvie, as a child, she's been running and running from, you know, the timekeepers, people. And she's had to teach herself magic over the time. And you get a glimpse of that backstory when they're talking on the train about how Loki's mother is the one who taught him magic. And you see like a bit of humanity. He shows the fireworks to impress Sylvie. And then Sylvie says that she taught herself magic. And you see that there was character development through that storytelling method that they chose to use. In She-Hulk, we don't really get that. In She-Hulk, we get, okay, she gets her powers, cool. Automatically she's good. You don't get to love the character. You don't get to see, oh, she had a journey. No, she's just automatically better than everyone else, which is not, you know, it's not the best way to portray the character. But who am I to say? I'm not one of the writers on the show. Marvel's hired me. I think I could do you guys a little justice respectfully, humbly and respectfully. Now, back to Loki. Like I said, that ending was crazy. Every single episode, I would turn to my friend and I'm like, oh my gosh, that did not just happen. Like there was like plot twists in every episode. The fact that they made the variants used to have their own life. And I'm sure for sure that Mobius must have had a life with a jet ski, because the way that man's obsessed with jet skis, there's no way that he didn't. I like it. I like the plot twist where the timekeepers, the three of them, ended up being animatronics. That also shocked me, because at first I was like, yo, the character designs for them are kind of crappy, respectfully. And then they cut the guy's head off. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on air. And it turns out to be an android. So I'm like, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense. It's a bad design, because it's supposed to be a bad design. It's supposed to look cheesy because it's supposed to be a robot. And that's the plot twist. And it's like, wow, this show is incredible. So yeah, I kind of think this is the podcast we've talked the most about Marvels. I'm not going to lie. I love how I said we, even though I'm the only one in the studio today. Marvel's, like I said, DC is my favorite, so I'm usually always talking about DC. So it's a different, little bit of a different episode today, talking about Marvels, you know. But it is the Super Show. We talk about all things superhero related. Marvels, DC, indie, anything really. I mean, we've talked about Scooby-Doo to the Nesquik Bunny on here. I'm sure we've even mentioned Ninja Turtles, if I'm being honest. They have their own comics. Speaking of comics, we should probably look into the new comic books for this week, the new releases. So, starting off strong, we have The Amazing Spider-Man number 47. Like I say, each episode, every time we look at the daily comic books and the new comic books, there's always tons and tons of Spider-Man comic books being released, and Batman, I can assure you. So, Yeah, I already see a Batman on this, but let's get into it. We have, as I said, The Amazing Spider-Man 47, Action Comics 1064, and that has Superman on the cover, so that looks really good. Ultimate X-Men number 2, and the art style on here is kind of interesting because it looks a little bit anime-ish, which is not... It looks like manga a little bit, which is interesting. We have Wolverine 47. We have Transformers. Oh my gosh, I didn't know there was a Transformers line. Transformers number 7. So this is already a series that's started if you guys want to look into that and catch up. Fantastic Four 19. And I really love the cover for this because it's very vintage and retro. It's like a pinup girl. And then weapons, which is really cool. Then we have Green Lantern 10. We don't get too much of Green Lantern, so it's nice that they're trying to bring him back. I really hope that if they weave Green Lantern back into DC, not saying that they removed him, but they kind of did. They realized that they made Green Lantern a bit lame. I hope that if they do bring back Green Lantern, they do something like they did with the Justice League animated series, because that Green Lantern was the ultimate Green Lantern. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Green Lantern Justice League animated. John Stewart. I want to see John Stewart version of Green Lantern because he's so funny. He's so charismatic. He's got a lot of story to him. They give him his own story in Justice League, and you know, in the romance aspect and in general. So he's such a cool character. But because Green Lanterns in general are so underrated and they're so, like, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it, they're so lame today, it's hard for us to see any Green Lantern content. So I hope that they can bring it back, bring Green Lantern back to life in the sense of give him his coolness again, make him lovable again. But yeah, I think the way to go for that would be definitely to make maybe a live action John Stewart Green Lantern. That would be really cool. If they can pull that off, they could make Green Lantern one of the favorites again. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you out there probably love Green Lantern. So I love Green Lantern. It's just he can be very underrated and they mess up Green Lantern a lot. So the next one we have for new comic books is Batman and Robin number 8. I actually started this collection, so I'm probably going to pick that up. We also have The Incredible Hulk number 11. Love that. Star Wars Darth Vader number 45. Interesting. We have Iron Man, The Invincible Iron Man 17. Resurrection of Magneto. I see that there's like a move for a lot of X-Men, Magneto, Wolverine, all these characters is really coming back, and I love that, especially with the new animated series that they just released on Disney Plus. It's amazing. I like to see that these characters are being resurrected, because just like Green Lantern, for a while they were dead in a sense, like nobody really talked about them, they were kind of lame. So I mean, not that they were lame, but they were just kind of like, oh yeah, they exist, and now they're being brought back, and it's like the excitement for them is being brought back. I hope the same thing happens for Green Lantern, that the excitement gets brought back. So I'm like really excited for all this new hype around the X-Men, Wolverine, all these characters. But yeah, Resurrection of Magneto number 4, that actually seems really amazing. We have The House of Slaughter 22. I'm not too familiar with that one. I think Sage is, though. We have The Batman First Night number 2. Like I said, there's a lot of Batman content. We have X-Men 97 number 2. Carnage number 6. Now, Sage would be obsessed with this. Venom is his favorite character. But yeah, so Sage, if you're listening from home, Carnage number 6 is out. We have the Spider-Verse, more Spider-Man content. Edge of the Spider-Verse number 3. I'm actually really... looking forward to that. I'm a big Spider-Verse fan. I'm a big Spider-Man fan in general, but I love Spider-Verse because you look into all the different versions of Spider-Man. The same reason that I like Loki, because you get to explore all those different, you know, parallel worlds in a sense. Also, for a while, the same reason I liked The Flash, although The Flash kind of took a turn for the worst, if I can say, in my honest opinion. I did not finish the live-action Flash series. But I like when superhero shows are not afraid to dive into parallel worlds for a bit. As long as they don't get stuck in that, unless it's like like Miles Morales. That's an exception, because the whole story is about that, about, you know, the different Spider-Verses for a while. But as long as they can bring it back to, okay, Miles Morales is the main character, then it's good. Same with The Flash. As long as they bring it back to, you know, it's The Flash, then, you know, they can make it work. We have another Spider-Man called Symbio Spider-Man, and that's $20.99. Oh, $20.99 Spider-Man, Miguel, is top tier. So that's pretty exciting. I have a few vintage 2099 Spider-Man comic books back home. We have Miss Marvel Mutant Menace number 2. We have Red Hood the Hill number 3. Let's see, what else do we have? Suicide Squad Dream Team number 2. Speed Force, that's a Flash content. That's actually really cool. It's Kid Flash on the cover. Or, hold up, actually, let me open this up. Is that Kid Flash? Yeah. Finish Line, Speed Force, and it looks like he has other speedsters with him. So that should be interesting. You don't see a lot of Kid Flash content. By the way, my favorite Kid Flash has to be Young Justice or Teen Titans, in a sense. Like, I love Young Justice Kid Flash. Every single time they go into a battle, he like picks up, like, let's say the bad guy loses like a cybernetic arm, he'll like pick up the arm and be like, souvenir, and then put it on his shelf back in their lair, which to me is the funniest thing, because if I was a superhero and me and my team were beating up a bad guy, I would also grab a souvenir every time we beat up a bad guy, whether it was a rock or whatever. I think he picked up like a robot's eye one time and put that on his shelf. Oh my gosh, that would be me. I feel like Kid Flash has a little bit of ADHD like me. I'm not gonna lie. He's all over the place, literally and mentally, I think, which is, it's so funny. I think that's how I can relate to him the most. He's so lovable. He's so Kid Flash. So in that last episode of, like, I forgot what season, when, spoiler alert, actually, spoiler alert for Young Justice fans, in that last episode where Kid Flash died, I'm not gonna lie, I shed a tear. I like really did shed a tear. It was so heartbreaking for me. And then Netflix, they didn't continue the show on there. So I have to go find out where else to watch it. I'm pretty sure HBO Max has the rest of it, but that's where I left off. Even though I haven't finished that show, I can easily say Young Justice is one of my absolute favorite animated shows. A little bit related, but not related, on favorite animated shows, Avatar The Last Airbender. So I know most of you know we just had a solar eclipse. And for the Avatar fans out there, I hope you know what that means. That means we can take over the Fire Nation, because they have lost their powers during the solar eclipse. Man, I love that show, Avatar The Last Airbender. I mean, can we talk about it a little bit? Because it technically falls under superheroes. Can I just say, I don't think I've met anyone who doesn't like the animated Avatar The Last Airbender. We're actually, one of my friends, she's watching it for the first time right now, and she's obsessed with it. I'm so happy that we can introduce her to that. So shout out to Susanna. But really, that show is one of my favorites. And a lot of people, for the new live action Netflix series that came out, a lot of people, it's hate-love relationship with it. It definitely was better than the live action movie that came out in some aspects. What I will say is it's the story is very rushed and mixed together. So like a lot of the episodes, the storylines from a lot of those episodes don't hit the same because now they're trying to put six different storylines and different lessons into one episode and merge the stories to be one story. So I remember there was one episode where it had like the mechanic, and then it also had Jet, and it had the Cabbage Guy, and then it also had King Boomy in that one episode, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. You just took like five episodes and put it into one. What just happened here? So that's got to be what I nitpick from the show. Like that really aggravated me. But if I have to take a step back and look at it as a whole, it's still better than She-Hulk. Okay, I'm sorry. No more shade at She-Hulk. If I have to step back and actually look at Avatar, the Netflix show as a whole, I think it was good. And I know a lot of people are going to come at me for this, but I think it was good. Other than, you know, my bone to pick with it, I think the casting was really good. And I mean that. Uncle Iroh, amazing casting. Zuko, amazing casting. I will say, and this also might get a bit controversial, Azula and her crew, I'm not the biggest fan of the casting because I feel like they all look too sweet to be villains. So I don't know. I'll give them a chance, see how it goes in like season two. But they just seem like too sweet to be taken seriously. Aang casting was perfect. Katara casting was perfect, though I heard a lot of people had a problem with her acting, that it was very emotionless. And I mean, I guess looking back, I can see that, but I didn't hate it too much. I thought it was okay. What I will say that I did hate from the show is that Katara, you know, she loses a bit of her character development, as does Sokka. Because part of Katara's character development is that a lot of people say, okay, well, you are a woman, you can't do this. And then she goes and she shows them, and she works hard, and she's like, no, I can waterbend. But here it's kind of very like, oh, I'm also naturally good at waterbending. And then, you know, they don't really work to get that character development of Katara, where, like, same thing with She-Hulk. They don't work to get that character development. And it's like, no, I want to see her struggle first before she becomes like amazing. And what I like about her the whole time is that she's feisty, and she knows she can do it. In this version, she doesn't have any feist to her. And I'm like, no, that's not Katara. That's watered down Walmart Katara. But respectfully, I still love the actress. I think she did an amazing job. I think she looks perfect for the role. Sokka, I gotta say, perfect face for Sokka. Absolutely looks like Sokka. Voice, even the voice sounds like Sokka. The way he carries himself in the show is Sokka. My biggest nitpick of the show, my biggest dislike of the show, though, is that they took away a big part of Sokka's character development, which is that he starts off as a very self-centered, sexist pig. And they take that away. So now, in the sense that you can't see him grow into a mature man who learns to respect his sister and respect women. You don't see him have that growth. So he's kind of a flat character. You know, obviously I'm not saying I agree with sexism. No, that's not it. But I'm saying that you needed to have him start off bad, or not bad, but like you needed to have him start off with those flaws, those major flaws, to watch him grow. That's how you connect with characters. You watch them have flaws, and then you watch them grow from those flaws. And that goes with every show. Like I said, with Loki, they did that perfectly. She-Hulk, they didn't do it. Now, Avatar Last Airbender, they didn't do it. So they're missing, because they're so scared of controversy, and this is my opinion, because so many shows are scared of controversy and stepping on people's toes, they're like, oh no, but if Sokka makes those jokes, we're gonna get canceled, or we're not gonna be able to, you know, they're gonna hate the show. No. Everybody understands that what Sokka is saying isn't okay. The whole point of him saying that is so that he can grow from it, and you know, it shows the audience, yeah, what Sokka said isn't okay, and he grew from it, and now he's a good guy who respects women. That's the whole point of the show. I mean, not the whole point of Avatar: The Last Airbender, but that's the whole point of his character development, and his romance with Suki even, you know, shows that. So I'm not gonna ramble on too much about that, but yeah, no. Don't be afraid to step on toes. This is directly for the writers. Don't be afraid to step on toes, and in doing that, you remove the character development. Don't be afraid to give your characters flaws that are kind of offensive, because you know what? That's human. People mess up. People have flaws. People aren't always the best. People kind of suck. And the whole point of these characters is that they got to be a little bit relatable. They can't be perfect, and that they have to grow from it. So I don't know. That's my lesson, I guess. I don't know how this turned into a TED talk, but it did. That's my lesson. Grow and be don't force yourself to be relatable, but grow. You know, you're not, no one's perfect. That's my lesson for today. No one's perfect, but the whole point is that you grow from it. And let's get back into comics right now. So, I think we did look at all the comics, because the rest of the comics that we have on here is indie comics. Like Bloodborne, House of Slaughter, Another House of Slaughter, The Brave and the Bold, Kid Flash, Aqualad, and Robin, The Brave and the Bold. That one's not indie, that's DC. There's like 3 Bloodbornes out here, actually 4. Let's see. Thundercats. Yeah, that's basically all the comics we have out this week. Land Left Behind. This is a dinosaur and a knight. I'm not a big fan of the art style on this, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that, but I guess let's see how that does. We'll check back next week and see how Land Before Time does. I don't know if I said that name right, but that's what we got. Also, the Green Lantern cover. Again, I'm going back to Green Lantern. The Green Lantern cover is so nice. It's so good. It's Green Lantern in a hood, and it's like he's a fugitive. It's so cool. It's so cool. I love it. The art is so cool on this. I'm going to pick this up. You know what? If I gave a whole speech about how we need Green Lantern back, then I need to be a part of bringing Green Lantern back. I'll go pick it up, and I'm going to read it, and we're bringing Green Lantern back. Start this hashtag, guys. Bring Green Lantern back. But yeah, I'm trying to figure out, let's see. I'll read the little description for this comic book. Hal Jordan returns to OA with Hal's ring. Newly recharged, he leaves Earth for OA to uncover the mystery surrounding the central power batteries, while Carol makes a choice that will change her destiny forever. Plus, Kevin Maguire joins Green Lantern architect Jeremy Adams to tell the tale of Guy Gardner, the United Planets, Lobo, and wrestling? It's Guy Bogos Lobo's Adventures, part 1 of part 3. Okay, I'm not sure about that description, but I guess let's just give it a try. Alright, let's give it a try. You know, Green Lantern reminds me of Blue Beetle, and then of another character named Miguel. And I'm trying to find out his superhero name, because I just call him Miguel. Let me see. Teen Titans New 52. Miguel, and I'll tell you guys right now. Um, what his superhero name is, because you probably won't recognize the character by the name. Bunker. Bunker is his name. I don't know why I forget that all the time. So New 52, like Young Justice, is my favorite. And I think that's because Teen Titans in general, any version of the Teen Titans, the New 52, the Young Justice, the Teen Titans animated, any version of the Teen Titans to me is just such a success in my head, in my mind. It's everything. I love everything about it because the characters, they click. They feel real. They have their flaws. They're so real. You can relate to them, especially as a young person. You know, I grew up with the Teen Titans way into my teens and into my adulthood. And as a teen, I could relate. I'm like, they're just trying to figure out life. And honestly, so am I. So every version of them, it hits for me. Every version of them. But I really like, I have a special place in my heart for the New 52 Teen Titans because of Miguel. So this is like one of the first times I had seen a Hispanic superhero. And he's just a whole brand new superhero, in my opinion, in that. To me, he was brand new because I had never seen him in any other stuff. And I was like, and he would make like a lot of jokes that would hit specifically for my culture. Like he would start praying to Mary. I mean, that's a whole nother topic of religion. I don't pray to Mary, but so many Hispanics do. So to me, I was just like, oh, this is, I get him. This is so funny. And he would just have like these random Spanish lines in the comic books. And I'm like, oh, this is so funny. I would get along with him if he was a real person. So New 52 definitely has a special place in my heart because of Bunker, that character. Very cool character. He's Mexican. I'm not Mexican. I'm Cuban, by the way. Cuban, Honduran, a little bit of Colombian. It's a mix. Got Italian in there too, you know. But I mostly just say I'm Cuban. But still, it's really cool to see a character that I can relate to in the sense that, oh, I get your jokes. I get your Spanish English. And yeah. But in general, I can relate to all the characters because all of them are just young kids trying to grow up in the world. So all of them are relatable, really. My favorite character, though, if I have to say, Robin. Robin will always be my favorite character. Bunker's cool, but Robin's my favorite. I liked Wonder Girl. She has like this very tough, tomboy but feminine energy about her. So it's really cool. It's really cool to see. It's like she's very feminine, very beautiful, but she's tough and she doesn't, you know, let anyone boss her around. She doesn't take crap from the guys in that dynamic, which is really funny to see. I love Beast Boy. He's very funny. He's very lovable in every version. He's very sweet, caring, sometimes a little clueless, but that's why we love Beast Boy. Raven, she's a character that has flaws, goes through it, and then thrives, you know, and that's why we love her so much. I think we love that darkness that Raven has, because we all see a little bit of ourselves in that. And whether it's through depression or things like that, we all go through that darkness, and to see Raven go through it and come out the other end successfully is like it's inspiring to a lot of people. So the Teen Titans, I like them. It's relatable. It's inspiring. Robin too. He's got his issues because he's always and Robin. The reason I think I can relate to him most is because I hold myself to a lot of high standards, and so does Robin. And so you can see the struggles that come with that. You know, that's a whole nother thing. But I really like the Teen Titans for this reason. Like I said, can't be an episode without me talking about the Justice League. I'm obsessed with the Justice League. But yeah, back to Loki. I am going to be watching season 2, hopefully by the next episode, so you guys can hear me rant for a whole nother episode about Loki. trying to think of my favorite parts of the show. You know what I like about the show? It's serious, but it has that hint of comedy that doesn't overtake the whole story. So it's like perfect. I don't know. The show is perfect. I have no issues with it. My only issues with it is that is a little Mickey Mouse. I don't know how, that's a very Hispanic phrase. Mickey Mouse. It means like something's like cheesy in the sense, and the part of it that I say is Mickey Mouse is that you're dealing with something that is pretty impossible. But I mean, it's a show, so I don't have any bone to pick with that. It's a show. It's all made up. There's stuff that's like very like my Spanish mode is on, so I can't say it in English. It's like que paquete. Like that's a lot of like hard to believe that would happen. But then you have to remind yourself, you know, but this is a show, so I don't have to believe it happened because it's made up. So really, when you put yourself into the world of the show, it's like, dang, this is crazy. So you really have to put yourself into it and be like, wow, this is crazy. Like this is what's happening in this world, in these people's world, you know. So they do a great job of making you feel like Loki is a real character. He's going through real struggles. The time things is real in its world. And I love that. So I really have no bone to pick with that show. It's like, it's perfect. I still gotta watch season two, but even then my friend said that she said season two was amazing because she was actually rewatching it with me. That's how much she loved it. And I would rewatch it. I loved it so much. My dad, he said he would rewatch it with me. So that's actually like really good. I'm proud of Marvels for this one. I'm proud of Marvels for WandaVision and I'm proud of them for Loki. We don't talk about She-Hulk, but, yeah. And, I think there was another show that came out from Marvels that there's been a few shows from Marvels and Disney Plus in general. They're like spitting out shows like left and right. Some work, a lot of them don't. I know right now their whole big thing is all the Star Wars shows that they're spitting out. I really like The Mandalorian. I haven't given the other ones a chance yet, so I can't say anything, but I'm concerned if you're producing that many shows back to back, the quality does eventually fade. So it's interesting. Same with Marvels. They're producing so much back to back to back, the quality does eventually fade. Now, I did hear that the animated X-Men show that came out is a success. So I'm excited about that. Sage is watching that current. Well, he's watching the original and then he's going to jump to that one. I probably should stick with Loki before I jump to anything else. I haven't even finished the Beast World comics. So I've been on the Beast World comics since the first episode of the podcast and I'm still on issue two. What can I say? Busy girl in a busy world. But yeah, I hope I was able to, you know, share a lot of insight today. Remember, a lot of the things I say on this podcast, they're just purely my opinion, so don't take any offense. And I'd love to hear your guys' opinions. We do have a phone line if you guys want to call in. It's 813-324-1048. So if you guys ever want to call in, that is our phone line. So we've looked at the new comic books. We've talked about Loki. We talked about Young Justice, as always. And Robin, we talked about how Batman and Spider-Man comics, they're very popular right now. I know last podcast we mentioned Batman is the most popular superhero up to date. And that's kind of amazing to me. I remember when I was a kid being obsessed with Batman. So it's cool to see he's gotten so much love over the years that this just keeps increasing and increasing. I know the Robert Pattinson, yeah, his Batman movie, I liked it, I'm going to be honest. A lot of people thought it was going to fail, and I think he was a great cast choice for Batman. And now I'm excited to see who the new casting choice for the Superman, actually, I'm pretty sure they already released the new Superman casting choice, let me see. New Superman movie. Okay, yeah, they did. They did release, and it's gonna come out in 2025. They did release the cast for that, and it's David Corenswet. Yeah, Corenswet. He looks like a great Superman. Like, he has the face of a very classic Superman, which I like that. Nicholas Holt is going to be playing Lex Luthor. Nicholas Holt is going to be playing Lex Luthor. That's really interesting. Rachel Brosnahan. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing these names incorrectly. By the way, I have respect for all the actors and actresses I've mentioned on the show, even the ones in She-Hulk. I have respect for all of them. You know, that job is not easy, and they don't really have that much control of the writing. So they're just doing what they're doing. They're doing what they're paid to do. So I have respect for all of them. Really, really do. I like this casting. I really like this casting. That's a beautiful Lois Lane. She just looks like a Lois Lane. I'm happy about this casting. Really am. Looking else to see what else there is. Hawk Girl is going to be in this movie, I guess. Supergirl. Oh, I'm excited. Supergirl is going to be in there. But yeah, I'm just looking at everything here. You should definitely, on your own time, if you guys can, check out the Superman Legacy cast. I'm excited for it. I do want to see, because me and Sage talked about this briefly once. They changed the Superman logo for this movie very slightly. And I just have to see how it's going to look. Because I remember last time saying I was not a fan of it. I'm looking at it right now. I'm still not a fan of it. Oh, no. Oh, no. No. Why? No is the only word I have. No. Yeah, okay. No, okay. No. I don't have any other words. No. I don't like it, respectfully. It's a slash in the diamond. It's just it's just basically the diamond shape with a slash in it. I like the very classic bold S on Superman's chest, you know? That screams Superman to me. So, I really hope, this isn't too detrimental, but it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite look. Hopefully, they change that later. But like I said, casting looks great. Casting looks great for this show. That looks like someone I'd cast to play Superman. You know what? He reminds me a lot of the guy they casted for Smallville. Let me see. Smallville. Yeah, okay. The guy that casted for Smallville, Tom Welling. What a time. I really loved who they casted as Lois Lane for Smallville as well. That show is a whole nother rant for a whole nother day. I think I've gone into it too many times on this podcast. I love Smallville. What a show. What a time. What a time, honestly. Back then, shows were like so crazy. Let me see what time period Smallville was released, actually. 2001. So that was, yeah, right. So I was a baby. I wasn't even born, actually. I was born in 2003. But when the show was in my house, I was a baby. I remember being really young when my family got obsessed with Smallville. My uncle, shout out to Tio Ariol. We call him Superman. That's the nickname we have for him. And shout out to Isabelita and Katy, my cousins. They when we were kids, we used to pretend to play superheroes. So we would pick like Wonder Woman and Supergirl and all these different heroes to play as. I don't know why. I would always pick the Flash. I was like, I'm going to be the Flash. And so it's bringing me back so much memories. I know all of us are going to go watch the new Superman together, because Superman is such a nostalgic character. He's such an important character to my family in general, Superman and Batman. So we joke around and say my dad is Batman and that my uncle is Superman. So I'm really excited for that new Superman movie to go watch it with my family. So shout out to them. I'm looking forward to that, really. Let's see, there's not much else to talk about, really. The show is almost over. I might take us into a little music break, and we'll see what happens when we get back. So let me see. Also, the internet is also a little bit slow. But yeah, I can't believe I kind of went through that whole Loki thing pretty fast. I didn't know I was going to get through that quick. So can I just say, I love Loki's haircut. Obsessed with that haircut. It's so fire. And, I'm going to take advantage. I'm going to take a bit of an advantage since Sage isn't here. The guy who played Loki, he dated Taylor Swift at one point. And on that note, actually, I'm going to end the show. So, Sage, I hope you hear that. I'm talking about Taylor Swift on air on a superhero show. Thank you, everybody, so much. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. And actually, if you guys want, stay tuned for the next podcast. These are amazing women who are about to give their podcast. So take care. Bye.
Hello and welcome back to Dugout Talk. You're listening to us on the official HCC radio at hawkradio.primostream.com. I'm your host, Kai, and I'm here with
B-Dog,
and we have a special guest here too. We have Taylor Gant with us. He's a Lakeland all-time state champion in football and track. Congratulations to you, sir. You know, must be nice. But today we have a good show for you. We're going to go ahead and finish talking about our last few games, and then we'll just get rolling with what B-Dog is talking about. I'm sorry that she's blowing the mic. She still thinks this is an ASMR.